So what we want to think about this morning is evangelism as a lifestyle. How can we make evangelism something that we're just doing all the time, every day, in our normal lives, quote unquote? If you're an evangelist, then you're doing this as a career, then maybe it is already your normal life. But you might say, yeah, but I've got a job to do. I have to go and do this or do that. And there's things I have to do. Maybe, you know, you get married and you have children. You have to bring them up. How are you going to be doing this, but also be an evangelist? Because you've got duties, you've got things to do in your life. And so what the big question is, if I want to be an evangelist for the Lord, and I want this to become my lifestyle, then I have to ask this question here. Motivation. Am I motivated to witness for Jesus Christ? Am I motivated? What is it that will motivate me every morning, you know, to get up and go out and tell people about Jesus? Wherever, whoever I meet. Because that's what we're called to do, aren't we? We talked about that in... In Mark 16, we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's wherever you go, face to face, you see someone, share the good news with them. So how can I be motivated? How can I make this whole thing a lifestyle so that it's part of my life? And that's the thing that we really want to do. And so we're going to actually look. You remember I showed you a thing called crowds, a little PowerPoint called crowds, and I said, look at the crowd, look at the people. We're going to look at that again now, not just the text in it, not the actual PowerPoint, but I want you to look at these verses, okay? Mark 6:34. Jesus travelled. He came in a boat, and there was this huge crowd, okay? And here's this huge crowd. And Jesus looked at this crowd and had compassion on them, it says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And so the first question I have for you is, do you see people? Do you see people? Jesus saw people because... Jesus saw sheep because he is a shepherd. And so we have to ask ourselves, does the Lord want me to be a shepherd to see the sheep? To see these sheep that need to be brought into his fold? Because they're not in his fold now. And we want to bring these sheep into his fold. And Jesus saw these people and, he said they're not just... people, they're sheep, they're individuals. Do you know, I heard a great message about the wolf and the sheep. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that there's a wolf, the people out there are wolves, and God wants them to become sheep. But what do the wolves eat? What do wolves eat? Sheep. That's what they eat. That's their food. They eat sheep. They love to devour the sheep. And when we go out there as evangelists, what do they see? They see their dinner. They are going to make us their dinner. And you know, you've already felt that a little bit this week as we've been out there on the street. Some of these guys are coming, you know, and I was standing next to this, imam or whatever he was. And he's going like this, and he's looking at his other guys who are like his little disciplees, and he's looking at them, and he's going, you know, and he's looking at who was preaching. I think you were preaching, weren't you? And he's just like, and I'm thinking, is this a signal, like, go get him, you know, like smack him one? And I was just getting ready to think, you know, next minute there's going to be, you know, guys running around smacking us all or what? I don't know. And I was getting really worried. I said, Lord, I don't want this to happen, please, you know. And I didn't really know. And then he went away. He talked to them for a little while, then he went away, and then these guys came and talked to you, didn't they? So I don't know what they said, I didn't ask you, but hopefully they were interested and you had a conversation. But the people who we're trying to minister to, they're actually wolves. And we want to see them change into sheep. And, you know, that's going to cost something. When you have a wolf, sometimes he eats some of the sheep. You know, we are sacrificing ourselves. And I'm talking about physically. Here, we sacrifice ourselves. We go out, we get tired. And we get worn out. We get discouraged. And we leave. We leave the job that the Lord's called us to do. So I want you all to stand up. Okay, everyone stand up. And I want you all to sort of get in it, like get in a line so that everybody is behind Ola. Okay? So just turn like this and put your hands on the shoulders, just like this. Okay. All right? So just put your hands on the shoulders like this. All right? Okay, now we're in a big line. Okay, now what I want you to do is just massage the one in front. Massage your shoulder. Okay, and just say to them, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So you tell them that, okay? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Okay, now what I want you to do is turn the other way, okay? Come on. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Okay, and just pat them on the back. That's great. You know what? We need to encourage one another, and we need to encourage each other with the Word of God and realize we have got a long way to go because the Lord hasn't come back yet. And so we want to see people as individuals, people who need the Lord. People, Jesus saw people, and he said, these are people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to have Jesus' heart, okay? It says there that Jesus was moved. Jesus had compassion on them. How much do we care about people who are going to hell? How much do we care about people who are going to hell? And then Jesus did something for them. Jesus said, I am going to start to teach them. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we can teach people? Do we know just one thing? What is it that we can teach people? I want to tell you about my mum. My mum's written a book. My mum and dad were missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and they were missionaries their whole life, and they had a tremendous faith. And the name of their mission was faith. Mission, actually, it was called Sola Fide, which means by faith, only by faith. It's a Latin word, Sola Fide, mission. And so they went to Papua New Guinea, and I went there as a three-month-old baby, and I was there until I was not 19 years of age, apart from times that I was in Australia with my family on leave, or when I was in high school for about 7 or 8 months each year. And but they came home from the mission field when I was 19. Then they continued in mission work. And my dad was involved in radio, a Bible radio ministry. Then he was also involved in, he went across to the Caribbean with mum after all the family had grown up and we'd all married. I've got two brothers, two sisters, myself, we all married. And so then they said, we can go, we'll leave you. You've got your wives and your husbands to look after you. And they went off to the mission field again. They went to the Caribbean this time. And they were missionaries in the Caribbean for quite a number of years. And until my mum got crook. That's an Aussie term. It means sick. So she got sick. And so they came back home to Australia. And then Dad took up the ministry of... he was a director of team... the Evangelical Alliance mission for the whole of Australia and New Zealand. He travelled around a lot doing that for quite a number of years. And then eventually he passed away quite early, really. I think he just wore out. just wore out for God. And he was 78 when he died, about 12 years ago. And Mum said, well, I'm still here. I didn't go with my husband to heaven. I'm still here. There's a reason I'm here. What is my reason to be here? And so Mum said, I'm going to write a book. So she wrote a book all about their missionary journeys, which was amazing, great book. And people are reading this book even now, you know, and she self-published it and everything. It was amazing. This lady who's like, she was, I think, 80 years old when she wrote, had the book finished and published it. I mean, an 80-year-old person, you know, putting a book together. I was really proud of that. But what I wanted to tell you about Mum is that she had this vision, this attitude that every person was an individual who needed Jesus. Every person. And she said, I am here in this house after Dad passed away. I'm here in this house, in this neighborhood, because God has kept me here in this neighborhood to win my neighborhood for Christ. And she ran parties, like she was 75 or something like that when Dad passed away, I guess. And she started running parties for all the street people. I mean, can you imagine a 75-year-old woman running street parties, you know? And she was doing this and inviting them in, and she was making cakes and doing all kinds of things and just sharing the gospel with them, you know? And then she had to move from that house to a retirement village. And you know what? In that retirement village, every single person, there was like about 250 people, every single person she'd been and visited and shared the gospel with. I mean, that's just amazing, you know? And over a period of years, then she moved into a nursing home. And she, you know, she was in this nursing home in this one little room. And you know what? She just shared the gospel with everyone, all the nurses, all the people. There was this woman in a bed next to her. The woman was like, had tubes. She could not speak. She could not talk. She could not do anything. And my mum just shared the gospel with this woman. She just kept talking to her. And the funny thing was that we don't know if this woman ever trusted in the Lord or not, but the husband come in to visit the woman and he trusted in the Lord. And she just prayed and prayed for these guys, you know. And Mum says, I'm here, there's a purpose. I'm here, there's a purpose. And anyway, she started, we could tell she was dying. And we all knew that she was on her way to heaven, and we were excited about that as a family. I went up to Brisbane and different city, and I went to the hospital. And Mum says, I'm still here, there's a purpose. What's the purpose I'm in this hospital for, you know? And we said, well, you know, she said, I'm going to die. Like, why don't they just let me stay in the nursing home and just die there? And she kept saying, well, there must be a reason for me to be here. And I was there just a day or two before she passed away. And this nurse came in, and she comes in, and she's got this big needle. I hate needles. I cannot stand needles, you know. When I get really old, I says to my wife, Wynne, I said, just give me that one needle, you know, that euthanasia one. That's the only needle I want. no, not really. I don't believe in euthanasia. But I'm just like, I don't like needles. I hate them. I had so many when I was a little kid. But she... this nurse starts putting this needle into her arm of morphine just to help her with the pain, you know, that she was going through. And my mum is just there, and this nurse says to her, what did you do in your life? Like, my mum is like, wow, this is the best question anyone ever asked me. She says, I am a missionary. And this nurse looks at her and says, I think you said it wrong. What I said was, what did you do? You said, I am a missionary. What you should have said was, you were a missionary. She says, no, I am a missionary. She said, what you mean, here in this hospital? She said, yes, in the hospital, to you. And she said, what do you mean? She says, I have to tell you all about Jesus. And this is what I'm going to do. And the nurse is like, oh, gee, I wish this needle would go in. It was one of these things just kind of, it just has to go in really slow, you know. She's like, oh, I want it to go faster. I could see this woman's face, you know, at the beginning. And then, you know, it just softened. And this young lady, I think probably, you know, only 25 or something, And she just shared the gospel with this young lady. And she told her, she said, I want you to promise me, because she said she had a Bible at home. She said, I want you to promise me you're going to go back home, and you're going to open your Bible, and you're going to read John chapter 3, verse 16. And she said shared the gospel with this young lady. And the young lady said, yes, I'll do that. And she left. And then she looked at me and she said, I was meant to do that, wasn't I? And I said, I guess so, yeah. She said, that's what I'm here in this hospital for, wasn't it, to share with that lady? I said, yeah, I'm sure you were. She says, good, I'm glad. She says, I can go now, can't I? And my brothers and that were there. And I said, yeah, Mum, you know, if you want to go, you can go. Talking about going to heaven. She said, good, I'm going to go now. I've done everything that God wants me to do. And, you know, within 24 hours, she was dead. And she went to heaven, you know. And it was just wonderful. But I'm like, this is a woman, and I'm really proud of her, you know. And she's my mum, and I, of course, you know, we always love to talk about our mums. But here was a woman that I just saw her whole life was seeing people as sheep who need a shepherd. Seeing people, you know, as individuals. That person needs Jesus. And she made that her lifestyle. And that's what I want to do. And I think that's what we want to do. That's why we came to reach the city, isn't it? That's why we came. We want not just to learn how to do a sketchboard, not just to learn, you know, how to do a magic trick and share Jesus using that, or whatever it might be. We want to be evangelists, and we want to have that as a lifestyle. That right to the time that we die, to the grave, we want to be sharing Jesus with people. And so what is it we need to do? And I want us just to go through this with just some ideas. We need to have planning. If we want to do something, you've got to plan. You know, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Do you understand what that means? If you don't plan, then you're going to fail. And if you fail to plan, then you've already failed. So we need to have a plan. What is the plan that I need to have if I want to make evangelism my lifestyle? And so the first thing is plan ahead. You can see I didn't plan ahead. That D should not be where it is, okay? I could have just had the space a little bit between plan and ahead. If I'd have just moved that A across a little bit, it would have fitted. And I would have planned ahead, and so I would have had something that looked a little bit reasonable there. We need to plan ahead. Okay, you get the picture, don't you? Okay, so let's plan ahead. What are we going to do? Okay, here's the first thing we should be doing. If you know the Lord, then start to learn salvation verses. How is a person saved? By hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Is it Romans 10:17, I think? I can't remember the reference. I can never remember my references. I can never remember lots of things. It's amazing. I can remember to go home after evangelism. I'm still talking to people. And my wife says, why didn't you come home? Well, I was talking to the guy at the bus stop or the train or whatever for half an hour or whatever instead of coming home. But here's some good verses. Just I've written the text down there. John 3:16, of course. It's one of the greatest evangelistic verses in the Bible. We should all know that. We should memorize it. We should memorize Romans 5:8, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Acts 16:39. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We should remember these verses so that we know them completely. We can say them in our sleep. Okay? You know, wouldn't it be good if we said them in our sleep? You know, when especially if you're in a dormitory or something and just start quoting the verses in your sleep, and all the people in the room are going to get saved while you're having a sleep. Great. The Romans Road. You know what the Romans Road is? Who's heard of the Romans Road? A few people have, okay? It's just a road through the book of Romans of salvation verses, okay? Romans, 3:23, 6:23, so forth. So come and talk to me afterwards. I can give you a copy of the Romans Road. Okay? So these are just verses that you should learn. Then we have, if you're traveling, traveling is a great opportunity to meet people. And you know, when you travel, it's really important if you can just start to talk to people. The first thing you do when you're traveling is immediately start to talk to the person next to you. Like, as soon as I sit down on a bus, I say to the person, you know, like, say this is a bus, okay? And this guy is sitting on the bus, and he's got a paper or something, he's reading it, you know, and I sit. The first thing that a guy will do, or a girl, or anybody, when a person sits next to them, is what do? They look at you. That's what they do. And I've found every single time when I sit on a bus or get on a plane or anything, the minute I sit, the person just goes and looks. And then they look away again. They just want to see, you know, if it's an ugly guy or a handsome guy, or, you know, it's somebody, you know, that looks like a gorilla or what, that's sitting next to them. They want to know, you know. And so they look at you. So the first thing is I'm doing is I'm getting my bags and everything, and I'm starting to sit there. I look at the person, and he just turns. He looks at me. I say, hello, how are you? I'm Dave. Oh, great. And straight away, you know, they look at me and they're like, oh, maybe they tell me their name. Maybe they don't. Maybe they turn away. But I say, hi, how are you? I'm traveling to, you know, Brussels or wherever I'm going. Where are you going? And then if they want to talk, they talk. If they don't, I say, you know what? But you start by just talking to them. And a lot of times I'll say, I'm Dave. And I'm an evangelist. Do you know what an evangelist is? And they go, no. And I say, a person who tells people about Jesus. Oh, okay, very good. And they read their paper or whatever. But they know. You get on a plane and you just tell them that. And you're going to be on the plane for like 7 hours. Eventually, you're going to talk to the person. You know, the food's going to come and everything else. And all of a sudden, the person will turn to me and say, hey, you know, what is an evangelist? I'm like, well, great. So you just start to say, if they want to be quiet. I mean, I got on a plane one time and there was this Korean guy next to me, and I was flying from somewhere Asia, somewhere, I can't remember where it was now, Singapore or something like that, back to Melbourne. And I get on the plane and here is this guy next to me, and I'm like, I am so tired, I've done all this ministry, I was flying back from Europe, and I just want to sleep. I couldn't sleep on the first part of the journey, I wanted to sleep. And I sat down, and here's this Korean guy next to me. I said hello to him, and told him what I was doing, that I was talking about, telling people about Jesus. And he's like, man, I want to know about Jesus, tell me about Jesus. Well, this guy talked to me for like 8 hours. The flight was 8 hours long back to Melbourne. And it was the middle of the night, and he just talked to me and talked to me and asked me questions. And I'm like, man, I am so tired. I can't believe this, but this guy wants to know. And I just kept sharing with him, you know. And I was like, when I get to Melbourne, I am going to be so happy to just leave this dude, you know. And so he says to me, how are you getting back? And I told him I lived, you know, like 2 hours away from Melbourne. And I didn't say any more. And he just says to me, hey, I've got a rental car. You know, I'm getting a rental car. And I'm driving right past where you live. I told him I lived in this town. He says, I'm driving right past where you live. I can give you a ride. Can you please come with me and we can talk more? And I'm like, oh, no. I'm just like, this is crazy. I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but you know what? I got a free ride right to my door. Yeah. But we talked for another 2 hours. And, you know, that Korean guy, I don't know if he ever trusted Christ, but I gave him leaflets, I gave him booklets. You know, when I arrived at my house, I was able to go running into my house. Like, hi, honey, it's great to be home. I've been away for 6 weeks, but just don't kiss me, don't hug me, anything, because I want to get this stuff and give it to this guy. And I really don't want him to come in the house and stay for another week. But anyway, off he went with all this information and that I had, and a book that I wanted to share with him and so on. But it becomes your lifestyle and you're doing it. You know, my wife understands this and she does the same. But how can we be doing this and sharing the gospel with people? We need to make it our lifestyle. I know we don't want to sometimes, but we have to do it. Talk to people at the grocery store, you know, at the petrol station. you know, in the store where you go. And you can do great things. Like, my wife was in a grocery store, and this woman was in front of her, and fortunately the woman only had like about a dozen things, and my wife had like a whole shopping basket. And this woman was in front of her, and she like had a kid, and she just looked a little bit destitute, you know. And as she's going through in front of her, my wife just says to the guy at the checkout, "Oh, look, don't charge this lady. Add it to my bill." She didn't even know the lady. She just like really had this deep burden for this lady. She said, don't charge this lady. Charge it to my bill. Well, this lady was just, she just like, what? She just started crying. She said, "You know what? I only bought these few little things because that's the only money I have. I don't have any more money to feed my kids. And this is all I had. And I was going to have to walk home about 15 kilometres with this child in a stroller. She's going to walk 15 kilometres home with the food that she'd come." And my wife's just like, "That's okay." And the lady says, "I want to talk to you." And she said, "Okay." And she paid for all her stuff to go through. And then she sat down just in outside the grocery store, and she talked for like about an hour. And she led that lady to the Lord. She didn't even know who she was until that minute, you know? And it cost her like $5 or something for the food. That's all it was. And, you know, what can we do to make evangelism our lifestyle? Show people and help them, you know? And the best thing she could ever do was to pay that $5 for that lady, you know? Do we notice people with children and pushchairs and you know, disabled people and so on, and offer to help them? Just say, "Hey, can I give you a little hand? Can I help you?" And, you know, it's a wonderful way to be able to share Jesus' love with that person when they say, "Wow, this is that what Jesus would do?" You know, if Jesus was walking down the road and he saw somebody, you know, would he help them? Of course. And so we have to ask ourselves, can I be like Jesus? And then when we're talking to people, ask them about their family, about their job, about their interests, you know. I've got a note there, be careful with sports, because sports and politics is something that just you can spend so much time on, you know. When I went to the UK as a missionary, I first started doing outreach on the street, and British people love soccer. I mean, they love soccer, and I think a lot of Europeans love soccer. I mean, you know, it's kind of like in their blood. And so they started talking to me, and I'm like, "Well, okay, what's a good soccer team?" You know, and I like Chelsea, so I was like, "Hey, man, Chelsea." And I start talking to people about this soccer thing. And I'm on the street, and I'm like, an hour later, I'm talking to this guy about football. And I haven't even talked about Jesus yet, because he's just asking me all these questions. "Well, what do you think about this guy and that guy and this guy?" You know, and we're talking all about football. And I'm like, I want to get off this subject, and I can't get the guy off it, you know. And I found out I would just say to people, like, I wouldn't tell them. "Oh, look, I know a little bit about soccer and that, but, like, you know what, I really want to talk to you about God. Oh, what do you think about God? What do you think about Jesus?" Or, you know, and I just start talking to them about the Lord. Do you know what? We're straight into it. And we talk for half an hour about Jesus, not soccer. So it's important that you know, a lot of times we think, oh, this is a great way of bouncing, as it were, excuse the pun, you know, bouncing off the football to get to a conversation about Jesus. But it's so hard, because once you get into politics or you get into sports, it's hard to get out of that if that person is passionate about that thing. They're so passionate about it, they want to talk about it because that's their passion. So don't get into it if you can really help it. Admire their kids and grandchildren and so forth. They are passionate about their kids, and they like to show you pictures of their kids, you know, but you've got or their grandkids. Again, they're really passionate about that. They'll talk about their grandkids forever. But you can, by admiring their kids, especially if they're with them, it's an opportunity to share the gospel. Make your natural life your spiritual, and your spiritual life natural. How do you do that? How do you do that? It's got to become your lifestyle, hasn't it? And so your natural life and your spiritual life. Do you know, like there was a guy who was broken down one day, and I stopped to see if I could help him. And anyway, he said, I've got a flat tire. And I said, oh, okay. And he, can I help you? And he's like, well, I've got no jack to lift the thing up. And I said, what? You don't have a jack? And he's like, no, I bought this car and there should be a jack in it, and I can't find a jack anywhere. And he said, can you help me look for it? I think there's a jack in this car, but I there's little compartments, things like that, and I don't know. I just couldn't see to find a jack anywhere to lift the car up. And I was looking at the car and I thought, well, my jack's not from my car. It's not going to lift it. And he said, can you help me look for it? And I says, sure. But maybe God will help us find it. And I just went like this and I said, dear God, please help us find this jack so that we can get this car back on the road going. And he looked at me and says, you pray? I said, yeah, I pray. He says, no one's ever prayed for me. I says, well, God can answer our prayer. Let's look. And I just opened the boot up and I said, what's this here? And there's this little compartment in the side, like just on the thing. And he says, I don't know. I lifted it out and there's the jack in there. And he's like, wow, he said, did you know that? I says, no, I didn't know that. And he said, God helped us find that, didn't he? And I'm like, yes, he did. And he's like, wow, he said, you prayed a prayer for me and God answered it. And I said, yeah. And he said, can you pray another prayer for me? And I said, sure, what? And he says, I want to know more. I want to know how I can really know God. Can you pray that I can really know God? And I'm like, wow, this is cool. And so my natural life of praying comes out to this guy, and so my natural becomes spiritual. And your spiritual can become natural, and you can do the same, the opposite way around. You know, I'm walking around, I'm so spiritual, I'm praying all the time, but do I make it into my natural life? That my natural life involves praying, involves sharing with Jesus, and you know, when I'm with people, am I talking about God, and so on. And we make it part of our life. And then listen to people. Do we listen to what other people say? I think it was Giglio or one of these guys. I don't know if you know who Giglio is. He makes these beautiful, looks out into the universe and sees these beautiful videos and things. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I think he said something along the lines that we don't know people's hearts and we don't know what people are trying to tell us because we don't listen long enough to them. You know, we stop. We don't listen to everything they're saying. And we've got to listen to people. And, you know, it's so important to listen to what people have to say. I can remember this guy that actually taught me to do evangelism, an OIC guy, Sam his name is, and in New York. And we were out on the streets and we were preaching away and sharing the gospel, doing outreach like we are, and one of the students comes running over to Sam, who can speak Spanish and Portuguese, a little bit like, you speak Portuguese, right? A little bit like Spanish. And so this guy comes running over and he says, there's a guy over here who wants to get saved. And we're like, oh, you know, one of our team members. This guy wants to get saved. And Sam's like, oh, how cool. And he says, he speaks Spanish. You can speak Spanish. Can you go and talk to this guy in Spanish? He wants to get saved. And Sam says, are you sure? He said, yeah, I asked him. And he said, I want to get saved. And he's like, oh, okay. So he goes over to him and he just walks up to this guy and he's like, hello, and you speak Spanish? And the guy goes, sí. And he says, oh, okay. He says, I heard you want to trust in Jesus. And the guy goes, sí. And he says, do you know what it means to trust in Jesus? And the guy goes, sí. And he says, do you want me to share the whole message of the gospel with you? And the guy goes, sí. And so he's like, okay. So he starts sharing the gospel with this dude in Spanish. He's saying all this stuff in Spanish. And then, like, all of a sudden he thinks, this guy has said nothing except sí. That's the only thing he said, which is yes in Spanish. Okay. So he's like, so he asked him a question where he wasn't having to say yes or no. You know, like, where do you live? And the guy says, sí. And he says, like, he's like, oh, okay. And then he says, like, you know, what's your name? And he says, sí. And he's like, wait a minute, you know. And then he says, do you speak Espanol? Like, do you speak Spanish? In Spanish, he says this to the guy. And the guy says, sí. And so he asks him some more things. And the guy's like, no. He says, you speak, and then he goes, wait a minute. He says, you speak Spanishy. And he says, like, you know, he's saying it in sort of English. And the guy says, no, no, me Chinese. And he's like, he's like, what? You know, and he says, you've got to listen to people. Like, don't just do all the talking. We do all the talking and we think the guy's with us, but he's not. And, you know, we have to be able to listen to what they're saying. Get them having a conversation. If he'd have gone to the guy first and got him talking, he would have realized, hey, this guy's talking in Chinese, you know. And so he would have gone and found somebody who could speak Chinese to him, or given him a Chinese leaflet or, you know, tract in Chinese. So we have to listen well. But when we're talking to people and we can speak in their language, great. Well, how do we talk to them? Well, don't interrupt them. Let them talk. Unless they're going off on some crazy tangent, you know, and they're talking all about, you know, the war in Vietnam or something. And say, wait a minute, this has got nothing to do with, you know, the gospel. We're trying to talk about the gospel here. I asked you a gospel question, you know, or whatever, and now you're talking here. Wait a minute, you know, stop. And a lot of times people go off on all these tangents. So interrupt them then. But if they're just telling you a little bit about their life, listen to it, because it really helps you to be able to then have the right answer for them. Remember the things that they say and then ask them about that in the next question you ask them. You know, they're talking about their mother that was sick, you know, and they go on and on. They say, now, tell me, you know, about your mother. How is she in a hospital? You know, and ask questions about the thing that they asked, that they mentioned. And so you're getting to know them better. Remember their name, but don't, you know, use it like a salesman, you know. And do you know what I mean by using it like a salesman? Like, they just come in and they're just using it all the time, you know. And like, it's really great to meet you, Peter, and that's really good. And what do you think about this, Peter? And, you know, it's a wonderful thing, Peter, that you're here, Peter. And that's so good, Peter. And I'm just so glad that you're listening to everything I'm saying, Peter. And, you know, like, repeater. Anyway. Sorry. Sorry. Anyway, we can get into, you know, this whole idea of trying to make it a salesman's pitch. Don't have a salesman's pitch, and don't have, you know, have it all off pat that you've got to recite it all like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses come and knock on your door, and they say, right, and they've got exactly everything they're going to say, and they just have to go through it. And you interrupt them, and then they just come back to that point, and then they just keep on going, you know. And this one guy, he told me how he led this Jehovah's Witness guy to the Lord. And it was amazing, because he said he just let the guy just rattle on. He just went on and on and on and on and on. And then finally, when the guy got to the end, he said, you know, that's really interesting. Come in and have a cup of coffee with me. And the guy's like, I've never got this far before. They've always shut the door on me. And he came in and he sat down and he had no more to say, because he'd gone right through his whole patter. And now the other guy had the opportunity then to share Jesus with him, and he led the guy to the Lord. So I don't recommend inviting Jehovah's Witnesses into your house all the time, but anyway, that's what that guy did. Use scripture, and we talked about that. Quote Bible verses to them. Make the Bible verse a natural thing to you. Like, I've used an example there of John 3:16. You know, to say something like, God loves us all so much that he gave his son, his only son, for us. And all we have to do is believe in him. And you know what? We get this wonderful thing called eternal life. And you've paraphrased, in your own words, John 3:16. And then as you're talking a bit more to the person, you're saying, you know what? Do you want this eternal life? It's real, it's wonderful. It's not just my idea. This is actually what God said. And I said, really? You say, yeah, I'll show you. And then you take them to John 3:16, you open it up, and they read it for themselves. And it's what you just told them. In your words, now they see it in God's words. You say, this is God's words. See? And you're like, wow. And so the scripture starts becoming part of their life as well. They start understanding it. Okay, we've got a thing about carrying some literature with you. And I've got this little folder, and I've just given these all away. I've got to restash it. But I have this little, just a little notebook. And I've got probably 25 of these notebooks at home new, and I go through them like every couple of weeks. And I got two or three with me that I brought with me, and I just write everything in there. I haven't got into the thing of writing everything on your phone, you know. But you can do it if you've got a phone and you're good at, you know, texting or whatever. But what I like about this thing is I've got these little tracks that I shove in here in this plastic part. That's someone's card. But like the tracks this size, and I can just shove them in there, and I've got my own addresses and everything like that in there. And so I can just shove them in that side or this side, and so I've got them in my pocket with me all the time, wherever I'm going. You know, I go into the hardware store and I've got on here maybe, you know, to buy some tools or to buy, you know, some nails or something, and a list of things I've got to do. But I've also got these leaflets here. And I'm there and I'm looking at what I've got to buy, and I'm talking to the guy that's selling the stuff to me. And I start sharing the gospel with him. And I go, hey, you know what? I know you're working now and it's busy and, you know, we haven't got time to talk, but I want you to think about this. And I just give him one of these little leaflets. And he's like, hey, cool. And he takes it. And so, you know, we can carry literature with us all the time and have something with us that we can share with people as we go, and so that they, so that they've got that. Make that a part of your life, you know. And just going on that, imagine in your street, in your area, where you work or where you live, are there any other Christians around? Do you know those Christians? And if you do, encourage each other. Maybe say to them, hey, you know what? Instead of just going down to that cafe there for a coffee or for our lunch today, why don't we get some leaflets, and we'll just, as we're walking to that cafe to have our lunch, we'll just give them to people as we walk past. And you get another Christian with you, and you do that. And you encourage them to do that. And then, you know, on the way back from having your lunch, maybe you give one to the person at the, you know, that served you there. And then you walk on the way back, you hand some more out. And, you know, you get encouraged other Christian to do it. Imagine if all the Christians in a certain little area was handing out leaflets. And they did that in their lunch break. How many people in that city or that town would receive a gospel tract in a week? A lot. You'd be giving out hundreds if you could really just get a few other Christians doing that. So try and get other Christians, encourage other Christians to be involved in giving out literature, gospel literature. And it doesn't take anything. It doesn't take any more time to hand out 15 or 20 leaflets as you're walking along to a cafe. You're walking somewhere. You know, I find this the best way ever. You know, and before I know it, I don't get there because someone actually says, hey, I want to talk with you. And so you can have a chat too. But just hand leaflets out wherever you're going. You know, always carry a bundle with you. Make sure that you have follow-up addresses and phone numbers like that on the leaflets. You know, the leaflets that we've been using this week, they've all got an address, a follow-up number or something like that. Don't put your own phone number on there. Be careful about that, okay? Because what will happen, especially if you're a young lady, some dude's going to ring you up, you know, in the middle of the night, and you're going, oh, my goodness, what's this? You know, they're going to be, start kind of stalking you or whatever. You don't want that kind of thing happening. And even leaving your physical address, like where you live, you know, the street number and that. Be careful about that, because you know, you might get some dude on the door, you know, that's like a beggar or who knows what, somebody that's got your leaflet. So an email address is great, you know, and if the person gets that bad, you can just block them and you don't have to hear from them anymore. But an email address is great because it's basically anonymous. They don't know where you live, they don't know where you are, but you can be in contact with them all the time and you can be really helping them, encouraging them. And I've got people I share the gospel with all around the world, and I don't even know where a lot of them even live.
So
I don't know.
Can you give a name?
Put your email address on.
Just
put your email address on, like dave@teachandtell.org, and that's my email address. And so I said, hi, I'm Dave, you know, I'm talking to them. Yeah, great, you know. And, hey, you know what, I'd love it. There was a lady yesterday, I said, I'd love you to email me. And she said, I'm going to email you. She hasn't yet, but I'm going to email you. And I'm going to talk, you know, ask you some questions she was Islam. So she's going to ask me these questions, and she probably will. And I'll write back to her, you know, and I'll be maybe over in Romania or who knows where, but I'll still be able to email her and have a ministry in her life by email. And it's great. So that's how we can follow up people these days. And I can follow up people all over the world. It's great, isn't it? You know, email. I tell you what. Paul the Apostle would have loved to have had an email. But you know, what you can do is you can invite them to things like church, youth clubs and so forth. But you know, you've got to, where they can meet other Christians. And what I say about that is where they can meet other Christians. Because a person's not going to come to church if they've never been in a church. You know, they're not going to come to a church service. And you know, you might say, this is a best church I've been to, and like the praise and the worship, everything's fantastic. But you know, they're not going to come to church. But they'll come to some event that the church or Christians are having. You know, maybe you're having a barbecue or you're having some kind of, you know, festival or something that the church is doing where there's other Christians that they can meet. And so get them involved where they can meet some of your other, you know, your other Christian friends. So they realize you're not just some weirdo, but you've actually got other weirdos as friends. I mean, other friends who are also weirdos. No, but where, you know, they're starting to say, hey, look, you know, these guys are normal. They're normal people, you know, and they've got families and they've got, you know, desires and things that they do. And, you know, they can start realizing, hey, this is for me too. I can be part of this kind of group. And it's so much better than just being sitting in a church service where most non-Christians are not going to get the proper message anyway. but you know what? Don't give them their your address, but it's okay to ask them for theirs. And think about whether you can contact them, you know, in a few days' time. And it really is important to get back to them. If someone gives you an email address or something, get back to them within the next day or two. Excuse me. Pray with them. Get other people to pray with them too. You know, prayer is amazing. And I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of people I've prayed for just in the street. And, you know, you meet them and you just say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And It's just amazing, you know. This guy, I keep talking about this friend of mine, Sam, in New York City, but it's only because I think about New York City and he's doing a lot of work there. And, you know, we all know about 9-1-1, you know, when all those towers came down. And these guys come up with this idea, and they're still using it today since 9-1-1. And they just got a little booth and like a table, and they just went down into the street down near there, and they just said, put a banner up and on the table, and they had a Bible and some literature there, and they just said, we want to pray for you, will you come and pray and allow us to pray for you? And they had people lined up for three street blocks. These people are lining up. And they were so overwhelmed by this whole disaster that had happened. And, you know, seeing people dying and all the rest of it. And these people lined up for three blocks. And they were just ringing up and they were saying, like, to all the people that they knew who were Christians, who lived in New York City, they're ringing them up and saying, please come down here to this corner, this street, and pray with these people, because we've got a line that's three blocks long of people who want us to pray for them. And you know what? As they prayed for these people, they said, we want to trust in the Lord Jesus. And they led so many people to Christ. It's unbelievable. And you know what these guys are doing now is that every time there's any kind of disaster, anything that happens, you know, there's a car crash or a train crash or a bomb or anything goes off, zoom, they're there with their table and they have these little, an apron thing they wear to say, we're going to pray for you. And they just go there, the Christians, and they just stand there and say, we're going to pray. And they just pray with people. And people are trusting in Jesus as they realize, here's a real person that we can pray and who can answer. So learn to pray with people. Don't be afraid to ask someone, can we pray for you? And, you know, prayer is what's really going to work, you know, in people's lives. I believe that, like I said to, I think, our little group here, we must pray more. We must pray more. This German guy came when I was working in Africa and he said, all kinds of disasters were happening, and I just said, you know what? What you're saying is so true. We must pray more. And he taught me the importance of praying. Pray about everything. Pray about whatever is happening. You know, anything happens, pray. Just pray. And, you know, it's so important for us to pray. And so let's pray now. Lord, I just want to pray for all my colleagues here and friends. Lord, it's really great that you've called us as Christians to follow you. And Lord, we want to set an example for other Christians and teach other Christians how they also can be evangelists and that they can make evangelism a lifestyle. Lord, we want it to be a lifestyle. We want to be ones who are sowing the seed wherever we go. And Lord, help us to just have time to talk to people, just in natural things that we're doing, to be like you. We're just going for a drink. And we don't have a well, and there isn't a woman at the well. But there's a woman as we go into that coffee place to get our drink. Or there's someone in that service station as we stop to fill the car up with gas. Or whoever it is, we just want to be like Jesus and say, we want to introduce you to the water of life. We want to introduce you to Jesus. We want to share the gospel with you. And Lord, just help us to be seeing people that are sheep without a shepherd. And Lord, help us to be open to just giving a little bit of our time, just a few minutes here and there as we're traveling, as we're doing whatever we feel we have to do, but that we'll give up some time and just do what you really want us to do. Tell people about you. So Lord, increase our burden, increase our compassion for the lost. And Lord, help us to do this for the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.